I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting, members of parliament, and the acting DG of the Department of Public Enterprises, and the officials, and all the other people inside the room. Today we've got an apology from the chairperson of the portfolio committee. I will be facilitating a process of electing an acting chairperson. The meeting is solely being called to start the process of the budget review and recommendations report of the portfolio committee. The process will mainly be led by the secretary researcher of the portfolio committee, who will give us an analysis on the source documents that, as a portfolio committee, we need to engage with to be able to make recommendations to the the appropriations committee in terms of influencing the medium-term budget statement of the Minister of Finance. So in that light, I would like, we are not correcting as a meeting, but for the purpose of progress, and that the committee will not be making major decisions in this particular meeting. It's just to let the process start it and to get information for the portfolio committee to be able to do our work as mandated by legislation. I would like us to elect an acting chairperson for this meeting of today. Can I get a nominee for the acting chairperson of the portfolio committee?
I will suggest Mr. Pololo.
Mr. Van Dalen is nominating Mr. Hololo.
I second the nomination.
Okay. Mr. Mukwena, I seconded the nomination. I'm going to request Mr. Hololo to guide the meeting of today. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Very sorry to start this meeting late. I think the secretary has already explained that our chairperson today is not present in this meeting. And I think our secretary has already indicated to the sitting that we are going to be getting a briefing from our own researcher with regard to the BRRR. Is popularly known as BRRR, that is the budget review report. Without any waste of time, I don't know if we will need to introduce ourselves. I think it will be necessary. Let's start from this side.
Thank you, Chair. Marnie van Dyk, member of the committee.
Pieter van Dalen, also a member of this committee.
Member of the committee.
Nkosi Mwelo Nongonyana, the member of the committee.
Aubrey Mukwena, member of the portfolio committee.
Shireen Crossan, Department of Public Enterprises.
Sandy Hutchings, Department of Public Enterprises.
Andrew Shaw, Department of Public Enterprises.
Can we proceed then? Without any waste of time, let me give the researcher the opportunity to present the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I do my presentation, I just want to indicate that the Secretary will just give a brief introduction of the new Money Bills Amendment Bill, what it means and what the committee is supposed to do. Then I'll go on then to my presentation. Thank you.
Okay, over to you, Secretary. You can carry on.
First of all, the background of the budget review and recommendations report that we are mandated to do by Section 77 of the Constitution. All money bills must be considered in accordance with the procedure established by Section 75. An Act of Parliament must provide for a procedure to amend money bills before Parliament. The Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act number 9 of 2009, which is the act that was enacted by Parliament, that empowers Parliament to process money bills. Specifically, the Section 5 of the Act, which empowers the National Assembly through its committees that they must annually assess the performance of each national department. Committees must annually submit the budget review and recommendations report for tabling in the National Assembly. These reports, as abbreviated, to be submitted to the Finance Minister and Cabinet Member of the Vote, which is the member of the Minister of Public Enterprises. In terms of this, the report and what you are required to do, basically this is the structure of what we need to do, is to get to elaborate on the mandate of the committee, the methodology that we've used to compile this budget review in terms of the source documents that we have used. We need to look at the mandate of the department, including its vision and mission. When we're doing the BRR, we need to look at the strategic objectives of the department and the priorities. And in assessing performance, we look at the performance measurements and performance evaluation. In terms of strategic priorities, we need to ensure that we use that as a threshold with regards to looking at how the department is performing in terms of expenditure vis-a-vis the budget vote that they've submitted as a strategic plan at the beginning of the year. And also we're using the measurable objectives, which will be your measurable objectives within the strategic plan that they have tabled at the beginning of the year when they did the budget vote. In terms of analysis of the strategic plan and operational plans of the department, we need to evaluate the strategic plan and the operational plans against the outcomes of the department, which is the service delivery performance. The committee may invite inputs and evidence or evidence from the department or other stakeholders if needs be. Some of the documents that we need to use is the Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act, which is published by the National Treasury. That one, it speaks about the expenditure of the department. We look at the spending patterns of the department, where we identify under or overspending, consider spending trend analysis in terms of how the department is performing from one term to the other, where it could be from one this year to the other, or from midterm to the last term of last year. It will depend on which approach the committee takes. I think this one is almost a repetition. The committee may supplement this section with spending trends on appropriations reports on quarterly spending by certain departments in terms of expenditure, but there must be a correlation between what a DPE does with any other department, because they don't do the same kind of service delivery thing. And in terms of annual reports, we also need to look at the annual reports of the department and when we do the reporting, in terms of what is it that they have achieved, that they achieved what they have said that they will achieve when they do their strategic plan. And then, for example, this year we won't be having a report for annual reports of the entities necessarily. So, but it will some of them will be encapsulated within the PRR report. If for other departments, where SCOPA would necessarily look at the report of the department, we'll get an opinion from SCOPA with regard to how the department is performing. And then one of the things that the committee would like to verify is fruitless and wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure, overspending, and unauthorized expenditure. So if the committee sees a need, it might invite SCOPA. So these are the sources that we will be using: State of the Nation address, reports of the NPC, reports of the Auditor General, recommendations by the Financial and Fiscal Commission, and then also oversight reports and the budget votes. The committee will have to make observations. We must summarize our key findings in a very coherent and logic format, will be understandable. Key findings to be based on analysis made above. So in terms of our recommendations that we need to make to the Appropriations Committee, that is the achievement of strategic priorities and objectives of the department and the efficient, effective, and economical use of both monetary and non-monetary resources. The committee should make clear statement on whether it is satisfied with the department's service delivery performance or not. In terms of the recommendations, they need to be in line with the constitution of this country and ensure that there is separation of powers, that the principle is being respected. And then they must also be clear in terms of time frames, practical and also understandable. Thank you. I hope I was very clear. It was not too long.
Thank you very much. I think you were to the point. I don't know. I'll invite any comments, any questions from the House. Should we take questions now, or you want us to proceed to the next presentation by the researcher? What do you think, Honourable
Members?
Clarity
question.
Questions for clarity, if any.
Yes, I wanted to know if
we are just the department gives us a budget. Then they say we need all this money to do all these things. Now we are not happy with that. So we actually have a vote of no confidence in that specific part, and then we say we want the money changed to somewhere else. Is that what we can do? Is that the way it works?
Let me go back again to it. That's where they say that we must look at whether the money that we have given in the last financial year, that now we are looking at the current financial year. Then we're looking at the last 6 months of the department as to how they are using their money. We can make an analysis of whether the way they are using their money now is in accordance to the strategic objectives that they have and the deliverables that they said they will be achieving within 6 months or within whether the money is being used for the purposes that it is using. We must also look at issues of financial mismanagement. For the medium term budget, yeah, to see whether they are overspending or they are underspending, and then we must make our statements very clear as a committee as to whether the department is using the money in the manner they're supposed to use.
Yeah. Is that clear? Honorable Mokwena.
Yes, Chairperson. I'll let you go on to the question by the Honorable Vandalin. So it means we are only review or looking at the past 6 months and we are concluded from forecasting for anticipating. We are only concerned about the expenditure of the final level of 6 months.
To respond to that?
It is mainly aimed at basically influencing, because now the parliament has got the power to influence actually what is it that the minister of if we feel that the department has been under probably resourced as a committee, we feel that it's under resourced, we make a statement and say that on this particular thing we need that the department to give them more for this particular program for this particular reason. or we can say that they are actually overspending here. We're thinking that they are not doing according to how they're supposed to be doing in this particular program. So we need to zoom in that. But otherwise, the minister will be taking into consideration our recommendations.
Is that a follow-up question?
If for the last 6 months they haven't been spending their money on the right places, and then, well, what do we do? How do we tell them whether they have to go and spend it, or do we force them to spend it, or, I mean, what do we do? I mean, if you say we can't work forward, do we give the money to somebody else? Or I thought it could only stay in the department as well. You can't do it outside the department.
Or we take it away.
Can you respond to that one?
Yeah, actually, the committee would make recommendations as to whether there is fruitless expenditure and you feel that the money is too much, or the money is less, or actually there's under expenditure, or if there is mismanagement. We have to make those things, and also we look at the objectives of the committee as to whether the funding that has been given is adequate for the objective that has been set for the committee for a particular program.
Okay. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chairperson, yes. As I understand it, it is actually, you know, according to this document that's been presented to us, what the burr is all about is that the Act of Parliament determines that each and every committee must assess the performance of a particular department in terms of the outcome of Auditor General report, in terms of wasteful, irregular, overspending, wasteful spending, etc., whether we met our targets, the goals, the aims, and if we're on the right track. So this is actually a watchdog report, if I can mention it that way, on the performance of the department in general. And this is a report that will go, that must be submitted to the Minister of Finance and the Minister applicable, and so it must be presented to Parliament. And that's what it's all about, as I understand it correctly. Thank you.
Honorable Mukwena.
But there's also the recommendation part. The Honorable Dr. Pandey is absolutely correct. But also the recommendation part, that we are free now to are empowered of the Act to actually become pregnant. We recommend that money must be spent in the following manner. So there's a recommendation part in the brr. Thank
you. You want to respond to that? Comment.
Yeah, I think actually the members are spot on. That's the fact, and that is the way we're supposed to do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Before I give the researcher the opportunity to present, can I also ask a question as well? In the allocation of these funds, for instance, this is a department of the DPE. Say, for instance, you want to take funds from a particular SOE and put it to another SOE. Is it that allowed to do?
That will not be allowed.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Are there any other questions? Okay, can we then give you an opportunity to present to the committee? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I need to just make some...
Sorry, Chairperson, with due respect, I don't think the Secretary must put his neck on the block and say that won't be allowed, because then it cuts our hands off. I think, let's flag it and say the Secretary will have to find out from Treasury. Because it's not like taking it out of DPE into Water Affairs or Human Settlement. It is within the same house to say it has not been spent yet, but there's a need elsewhere, in another camera, so to speak. Otherwise, what's the point then of this exercise? If we were precluded from moving it around for the goodness, for the good of the actual house itself, so to speak, if I to use the metaphor. I don't think we should actually tie our hands like that. Let's see, that question that you've asked, this is absolutely important, but the research and the Secretary must be found from Treasury.
Are you absolutely right, Honorable Bueno? That's the question that I was asking. So our research actually will just find out about it, and then you'll come back and report to us. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just before I get on with my presentation, I just want to make a few comments with regard to this new act, the Money Bill Amendment Act. It's a new act, and it's been a challenge, I think, for everyone, because it's for the first time. And not only that, but then it happens when our committees or parliament are also considering annual reports. The other challenge are the sources of information in terms of what is it that you need to include in the report itself, taking into consideration that we have to look at the 6 months from 1st April up to date. But then it's something that has to be done. Also, one of the challenges with regard to the Department of Public Enterprise, the fact that it is different from other departments. Other departments are service-oriented in the sense that they provide services to the public, but the Department of Public Enterprise is not like that, because what it does, it oversees the 9 state-owned enterprises. So if our parliament has to look at the department's budget, they only look at the department, but the challenge is that SOE's financial management system might not be in good shape, but you can't say anything. You cannot say anything directly to those SOEs other than to speak only about the department. To get on with my presentation, Chairperson, we're looking at the strategic priorities of the department, one of which is to integrate the strategic mandates in terms of policy, meaning that all the SOEs have to follow a particular policy that comes from the government in terms of their activities, which areas they need to invest or build infrastructure. And this also means coordination. Coordination could be in any other area. You can talk about procurement. For an example, there are skills that you might find in Transnet, of which ESCO might need. That coordination speaks to those issues. And then you also have to provide funding for, especially for those SOEs that are embarking on the infrastructure program. We know that there have been challenges, especially for ESCOM, because it becomes quite a bit of a burden to always go to the fiscals to fund some of these infrastructure programs. And it also, the department's strategic priorities also mean shareholder management, meaning as a representative shareholder of government, it needs to play its role efficiently with regard to SOEs, to monitor them, but also as a shareholder to be involved in some of the transactions that they are involved, or activities or projects. To get on the oversight responsibilities of the DP. I tried to mention earlier in the sense that the DPE oversees. It does not like act directly. It oversees the various SOEs. And those SOEs are operating in various sectors of the economy. But one of the oversight responsibilities of the department is the appointment of executive directors. This happens after cabinet approval, and it also includes approval of major or significant transaction. It could be loans, funding for infrastructure. This also includes the issuing of strategic intent, meaning every SOE under the department must have a strategic role that it plays within the economy in South Africa. Shareholder compact, these I think are very important, because it's almost like a binding contract between the department and the SOEs. It's for specifically fiscal years, financial years, that the SOE, this is what it will do, and the department agrees, these are the time frames, this is how we will assess your performance. This includes also monitoring the performance of each SOE and also enforcing accountability. There are a number of measurable outputs, but I just only listed these 6 ones. I think the Parliament is aware that there are challenges with regard to new generation capacity. This is one of the outputs, the measurable indicators that Parliament can measure the department with regard to the SOEs. that they are able to generate these capacities to avoid any blackouts. We also know that there is an issue of independent power producers. That issue has been highlighted in the integrated resource plan, but we don't know when it will be fully operational or it will be important. So that's another issue. Also, the restructuring of the PPMR, the latest information is that there will be no funding for the PPMR. The restructuring of DENEL, fortunately, yesterday we had DENEL in Parliament. Parliament and the members, I think they are aware of the challenges facing DENEL financially. There's the remuneration panel that was appointed to look at the salaries of the CEOs. I have no idea right now how that has come about, but I think once it is completed, then it will serve as a guideline for all the SOEs in terms of salaries for CEO and senior management staff. There is also the appointment of a DG. I think that is also important because when we talk about shareholder comparison or we talk about the performance, these are key players in that sense. For an example, when we talk about performance contracts, and if you look at the my document where I did mention the Minister of Monitoring, the Minister in the Monitoring and Evaluation unit in the President's office, made mention that there will be contracts between the minister and the president, but also between the minister and the DG or officials of the department. From the department's point of view, there will be then also performance contract between the department and also usually this is reflected in the shareholder combat. Looking at the budget allocation for the current year, that is the year under review, we're looking at the programs, administration, energy, legal, governance, and transaction, manufacturing enterprise, transport enterprise, and joint project facilities. There has been a decrease compared to what the department received or was allocated in the previous financial year. In the previous financial year, the department nearly got something like 4 billion. But in this current fiscal year, the department got something like 350 million. Most of the decrease came from the decrease in transfers because there were only two transfers in this. There were only two transfers in this current financial year, which was ALESCO and then as also the Brett Brandon FRACO. But also, I think it's also important for Parliament to have an idea in terms of how much SOEs or the department has managed to secure for the SOEs. For the infrastructure program or any other project for that matter. These are the figures that I got where the SOEs have got some funding. The African Development Bank, which gave Eskom something like 2.5 billion, and then there's the Japanese Bank for International Cooperation, which gave Transnet 35 billion. And then there's the European Investment Bank, which gave the DPE and then...
Transnet here was given 35 billion yen, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then in rent terms, how much is that?
I have no idea, Chuck.
Anybody has got an idea to how much is that?
By 100, so it will be 3.5 billion, give or take.
In rent?
Yeah, I think the same rate is 135 billion.
As long as they are not in Zim dollars, I'm not really for that.
Continue, researcher.
Thank you, Chair. And then there's the
welcome,
thank you.
Then there's the European Investment Bank, which I'll assume that it. This is the department, and then because it went to various SOEs, not only to one particular SOE. And then there's the World Bank loan of 28 billion. This is the funding. But also, these figures and these sources of funding indicate that the department, or rather the government, is not willing to fund SOEs anymore because it has been mentioned a number of times that SOEs need to secure funding from other sources rather than the fiscal. So that, I think, is the indication of to that commitment. I'm looking at the expenditure trend for the department specifically, especially the programs. There is, in overall, there is a decrease because when we looked at that 3.9 billion and then in the current financial year, we saw it was 350 million. And then projecting forward, there's also going to be an increase, although I do not have the figures, but I do have them on the document. Hard copy. Looking at specifically at the programs, the administration program will increase slightly from 102 million to 111 million. These are the projections from 2012 financial to 2013. Energy program will decrease from 150 million to 14.9 million. Legal and transaction, legal governance and transaction. Our program will decrease from 54.4 million to 19.6 million. Manufacturing is the same thing, from 16.2 million to 15.6. And then the transport, transport will increase also very slightly from 18 to 20 million. And then we have the joint project facility, which will decrease from 9 million to 8 million. The overall budget, Chairperson, going forward in terms of projection is that the department will receive less funding, mainly because there won't be any transfers. That's the projections that were given in some of the documents, that there won't be any transfer to any of the SOEs. Transfers that have been made for this year is 36 million for Alesco, that has to do with the land claim. And then we have our program in FARCO, which is very much involved in ICT, which received 138 million for this current financial year. In conclusion, Chairperson, the decrease on some of the projects means that there will be a decrease on the overall budget of the department from the next financial year, or even from the next financial year, if I may put it that way. The sense is that there won't be more money from the fiscal going to the department. and if one goes through my statement, I did indicate that some of the ministers, especially the Minister on Finance, did indicate that not specifically to the department, but in general to SOEs, that the tendency is to increase salaries, to travel in luxury and frills and so forth, that there should be cost-cutting measures toward those things to save money. On recommendation, Chairperson, some of the recommendations also, I picked them up from some of the ministers, from the cabinet ministers, that ineffective programs need to be done away with, their use of consultants, risk management on commercial decision. I'm sorry that I didn't complete that. But in my document, I tried to explain the risk management and commercial decision. I made an example of South African Airways, where you have SAA ordering 15 aircraft over a 10-year period on routes that turned out to be unprofitable. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think that is a risk that should have been identified earlier, that you should not commit yourself on those things. Also on recommendation, the funding model for SOEs, because it's clear that there won't be any more funding that will be going to their direction. Also, there's a need for state-owned enterprises to be relevant to the industrial policy action plan, so that it becomes part of government's objective. And then we also have the Presidential Review Committee and the future of SOEs. I think that one is important in terms of what the future will look like for SOEs and the role of the DPE. Thank you, Chairperson.
There you have it, honorable members. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for your presentation. I'll give an opportunity to the members to interact with the report. Honorable Mukwena.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's a very incisive analysis of research. Thank you, Mr. Boscati, for doing that. Excellent. Very incisive, as I've said. But I sense that there has been a weakness in the mandate of the DPE. If the emphasis or the penchant is that the DPE's role is only that of oversight, because that is the thrust of what you say, it means the DPE is just like a portfolio committee. We are exercising oversight, and they are also exercising oversight. So, you know, there is this double oversight. Then it has got a weakness, an inbuilt weakness of an absence of management and coordination. You know, if the emphasis is that now the DEP's role is that of oversight, you know, just like an eagle flying all over, but then it means it is shortchanged in terms of aggressive management of these nine SOEs, as well as coordinating them. That's where the weakness is. Well, I know there's going to be a review of all of them now, but I think in hindsight, we should actually still make the point that if the perception is created that DPE only oversees these nine SOEs, then it's a more hands-off approach, and we hear the police, and if there are problems, then we pick them up either in our visits as a patrol committee or in the annual reports. And it means, you know, what happens that is now the whole thing is like a cascading effect, that the people, the department is supposed to actually do the, which is at the coal face, is now pushed back, that it only oversees. And now we then come in and oversee the people who are overseeing, you understand? So it's an inbuilt weakness that I actually see, which will have to be reviewed. And in terms of the MBRR, means that's going to be our review of everything, and also a recommendation that a more aggressive feature of the mandate and vision will have to be given to DPE. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mukwena, for your observation, which I think, yeah, it is valid somehow. I don't know, Honorable Members, I was of the view that after these two reports from the researcher and the secretary, I don't know if it would be in order. Say, for instance, if I could, since the officials from the department are here, if they could maybe add some more meat on the actual report before I even give the honorable members the opportunity to make comments and questions, because as you correctly put it, Honorable Mukwena, they are there as people who are doing oversight, and who are doing the talking, and they are just quiet over there. I don't know, will that be in order, honorable members, to do that? To give them an opportunity to say a word of you, to add meat on the actual report.
Sure.
What do you think?
Sure.
I'll then give them an opportunity to add more meat in this poll. Thank you. Short?
Chairperson, we're quite happy to take questions, and we can still do that, but I don't know if you would like us to respond to the specific recommendations that came out in the slide presentation, which I think are the same as those on page 10 of your document, is that right? If it's in order, I can briefly respond to each one of those and just indicate where we stand with respect to each one of those. Would that be what you would be requiring?
Honourable Members, what do you feel, actually?
That's fine.
Is that fine?
Okay, perhaps if I can run through these, I will ask my two colleagues to step in if necessary to assist us. But I think just to give you a high-level sense in each one of these areas, in the first bullet, which refers to the cost-cutting measures and the need to eliminate ineffective programs, we have set in place within the department cost-cutting measures, and you will see that costs of travel, costs of S&T, et cetera, have reduced as a consequence of putting those programs in place. And Sandy can...
The recommendations.
I'm sorry.
On the recommendations.
On the recommendations.
Okay.
I'm responding to each one of these bullets, if that's correct. And I'll ask Sandy to deal with that in more detail if you would like some further explanation. The second bullet, I think the use of consultants, I think we would just like to put this into perspective. This is an issue that was asked of us the last time we were here. If I refer back to the annual report, we actually detail right towards the end on page 140 all the projects in which we use consultants. Now, what we do have within the department is a very streamlined team. We have really only 170 people odd within the department, and of those, I would imagine roughly half are in detailed SOE oversight. We don't always have the specialist skills for dealing with very specific legal matters where we require legal opinion. Where there's transactions in place, and we have had some number of those, where there is particularly restructuring or SOEs that are in trouble, where we require either advice on the financial position of those SOEs or the sector positions, we may not always have the available personnel to undertake those. Or alternatively, those people within the department are strongly sent in focus on what we are doing, so they may not have the available time. We have reduced our expenditure on consultants, which I think differs from what the report is saying. We've reduced our expenditure on consultants by approximately 10% year on year. So if we go to page 94, our expenditure in 2008-2009 was 56 million. It's reduced to 51 million. Now, this is within the context where, in fact, our expenditure of running the department has actually increased by, in terms of remuneration of government employees, has actually increased by about 16%. So there's the inflation of actually running and managing the department, and its increase. And in fact, within that context, we've actually reduced our required use of consultants. So I think we've been very audacious about making sure that the consultants are really required for the particular purposes of the department. We had responded to this, some questions raised on this in a letter that I think you should probably have received in the last week, if I'm not mistaken, that focused on some of the issues that were raised in our last engagement, which did mention consultants. I'm quite happy also to go through each one of the consultants that were undertaken on page 140. The third bullet, which deals with risk and the risk in respect of SAA's 15 aircraft, this is a very challenging one, and I mean, if you want me to, I can go into a little bit of detail to explain the particular risk, if that's in order, Chair. It indicates the risk management analysis to avoid risky commercial decisions as exemplified by SAA's order of 15 aircraft over a 10-year period.
Do you want to go to that in detail? Or?
No, I mean, I think we can park that, and if you want to deal with it, we can come back to that, if you would like.
Can I just ask a point of clarity on this consultants where you list them in the back here? Are these consultants only your department uses, or are these consultants that are used all over the SOEs? Because on the page 10, I think that was the question, that the department will need to reduce the use of consultants all over these SOEs. So I think that was the point of that one. I mean, obviously the department doesn't have all the expertise to look at the SOEs, and we understand that. But I mean, if you have, like the NEL yesterday, they spent about 200 million on consultants. And I mean, that is really too high, because we are paying these people big salaries to do the work, and then they still pay 200 million on, and they said, okay, the company and the what, they split it up to 186 million. But when I think at Alex Core there are people which are the CEO or the people that are in the financials, and they are all contract workers or consultants. They are not permanently employed there. So, I mean, it creates problems for me, and that is what they are talking about at that bullet point, I'm sure. You know? And the department must look at it, I'm sure. We can't do anything, but you can.
No, I think that point is taken, Chair. I think our focus here is to talk about the consultants' use within the department, which I've tried to explain. The use of consultants outside the department is an area that sometimes we are challenged by. We can talk to it explicitly in the respect of each SOE, but remember that these are decisions that are made by the board and the management of these SOEs and not by the department itself.
No, thank you very much. Is there any other contribution that you want to make? Because this meeting, actually, we're going to have it again next week. Some other, what you call, contributions that you can make to this report, you can give the committee in writing, if you can.
I think just, if I might just respond to the second last bullet on this page.
Before that, I'm sorry for coming late. So I'm playing rugby now. I pulled a hamstring yesterday. I had to go to a physio. I'm more active than Honorable Van der Leyen. Chairperson, on bullet point number two, the department talks about the use of consultants, and Mr. Shaw mentions that sometimes they would find themselves having to require expert legal opinion on a particular matter. Can I check? Because in my mind, I would have imagined that they do have a legal department within the department. Can I check if there is a legal department, and what capabilities are there in that particular legal department that makes it so difficult at times for the legal department to provide some legal advices to an extent that they would require to go outside? I mean, it's something that they may not have it on top of their minds as we speak. Probably when we meet next week, I would really want to get a profile of who's in the legal department and really what's lacking.
Thank you, Nana.
Otherwise, why do you employ lawyers in your department?
Next week I think they are going to be responding to some of these questions. Do you want to ask a question?
Chairperson, yes. It's on the policy priorities, page 5, the proposed recommendations. Chairperson, those are the recommendations that will actually be forwarded by the committee. And we've got the 6 bullets at the bottom of page 5. But what I failed to see then, what I would like the committee just to consider, is actually the real mandate that we must...
Honourable Van Rijk, you say page 5 of this report.
No, the one that goes with it,
the other one, the budget.
The budget book analysis. The one of them is the budget book analysis.
May I proceed, Chair?
Yes, you can proceed.
On that document, Chair, it was also prepared by the research unit. What I would like to see as part of the recommendations is the real mandate of public enterprises, of the different 9 public enterprises. In the past, it was set in different ways what the real mandate is of a certain public enterprise, and it differs from the the annual year book of government. It was set in a different way in the appropriation bill and the documents accompanied those bills, and even in presentations and different ministers, you know, when the questions were asked, what is the real purpose of public enterprises? And maybe we must add a bullet there to say that this committee, one of our functions is also when we actually consider the performance of the department to see whether they fulfill the mandate, and then we must explain what are the different mandates. Now, as I said in the past, it was said that public enterprises must assist in the infrastructure program to create job opportunities. It must assist in the economic development. You will remember the Asgisa, you know, it was said at that stage by the former deputy president that public enterprises will also assist in Asgisa. And then it was said it will assist in fuel development. It will allocate dividends back to Treasury once it becomes profitable, etc., etc. So, you know, there are a lot of issues and pros and cons added to a public enterprise. What is the real purpose? Now, it is not the same for every public enterprise because public enterprises differ. SAFCO differs from South African Airways. But there must be a group of targets, of aims that will be applicable to all the nine public enterprises. And I think we must add a bullet just to say that the committee will have an eagle's eye on those issues, whether those public enterprises comply to, you know, to the real purpose or the real aim and targets that we would like to see a public enterprise should at the end of the day comply to. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Van Dijk. But on that one, I think there is a reviewer committee that has been appointed by the President to look at all of what you are mentioning right now, Honourable Van Dijk.
Chairperson, yes, but that committee is still to come. I think in this report is connected to the procedures as it is now. There is legislation that says we must do this before or by the end of October, this committee. So that investigation, let's call it the new investigation, is still to come. That is just in the kick-off phase. But in the meanwhile, we have to concentrate on, and we must also remember that committee, that exercise will be applicable to all public entities. Here we concentrate only on the nine, as it's been said in the beginning of the document very clearly, only on the nine public enterprises that are the responsibility of the Department of Public Enterprises. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Van Dijk. I noticed Honourable Santo, you wanted to say something. Over to you.
Chairperson, I think I had a predicament here in the presence of the department when you said the department should also throw a stone into the researched information. Now, you are going to divert us now and allow us to question the department instead of enhancing the researched work so that we can be able to deal with the department. I think you are saying next week. Eh? Yeah. But over and above that, I think I would want to go back to what Honorable Member Mukwena said earlier. This rigorous oversight by the department over the SOEs, how far does it go? When you will be told that these SOEs are independent, they've got their own boards and everything. I'm saying this because that's a deterrent to say that we should not talk much about the frills and the high salaries that these boards are recommending for these SOEs. I just want to know, understanding for a fact that we exercise an oversight over the department, which exercises an oversight of the SOEs, a rigorous exercise. What is this? A rigorous oversight. How far does it go? What is it that they need to tell these SOEs, or what is it that they need to appraise them on, and what are the no-go areas when you talk about the department and the SOEs.
That's the last one, Chair.
Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Chair. Without really overemphasizing this point, I think Honorable Mukwena and Honorable Sondo are spot on, Chair. I mean, some of us in this house are involved in businesses that are either run through the board and with the executive looking after the day-to-day running of a business. But in my very little experience, I've seen it for the first time here in Parliament. That to me it seems the shareholder has very little to say in his very own business. You really leave it to the board to perform some of the functions that as a shareholder you would jealously guard against. Look, the Kaya Ngula thing is a case in point. The board, the current board has done a good job in trying to recover money from him. But in my view, if you have executives who are doing as they please, and yet you have a board that is not taking action about that, surely such a board has failed in performing its fiduciary duties. And to me it seems very little if something at all is coming from the department in trying to hold the board accountable. So I really would want to second what Ubudros and Dede Mukwena said. The time has arrived. If the department is not so, I must be careful what I say. If the department, if some of these issues are too thorny for the department to handle, they must be given to us. We will handle them on their behalf. So as I'm saying, I think it's about time that the department should take its rightful place and perform its duties, which I'm sure they've been trying to. But I think what is coming out of this meeting is that it's about time that the department is given more teeth to bite, particularly on lax and lazy boards in these SOEs.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. I don't know whether, Honorable Members, we should come back to the original reports and try and interact with the report.
Are we not
ending
the report next week?
Yeah. Since the meeting will be again next week, I don't know.
The document that the RSSA has prepared, he has consulted with the Auditor General's report, the annual report of the department. And if you interact with it, so if you wanted to take a look to it, and then next week we are able to make perhaps recommendations also if the department is there to give clarity, and so that perhaps it will depend whether we are ready at the time to have everything and adopt our report with clear recommendations. And then because we want to ensure that members get enough time to familiarize themselves with the information, because there's a lot of information that is there.
Chair, can I just mention, sorry, Chair, with your permission.
Yourself and yeah. Honorable.
I just want to make myself clear what I said earlier. we concentrate here on the 9 public enterprises that are the responsibility of the department. The other public entities, as specified in the schedules to the Public Finance Management Act, are not our responsibilities. Those are all the public entities, as mentioned at the back of at the schedules of the PFMA, that are part or divisions from different other national departments. Those are the issues and the entities that the Office of the President is going to, you know, to investigate now. And we will also form part of that investigation. But for this purpose, we just concentrate on our responsibilities, our 9 public enterprises. The other public are not public enterprises, but more public entities. And you can look at the schedule A, B, and C, 1, 2, and 3 at the back of the PFMA. There are many of them. And those are part of this investigation by the Office of the President. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Sando. Chairperson,
thank you. I think the reality is that we're looking at the SOEs over which we play an oversight role. But what I wanted to say was that the researcher was just lifting issues that would generate a discussion when we meet with the department. On those issues, we were probing on them, trying to check whether the researcher has bumped against any information relating to what we are raising. If not, therefore, it's still within our responsibilities to find further information so that when we interact with the department, we are able to have that kind of an enhanced information on everything that has been highlighted here. I think Dr. Shaw and his team is lucky to have been here to understand, to read our minds about what are the issues that we're going to be raising when we meet next week. There could be more. It's going to make it a bit easier when you come back to us because we've identified areas where we would want responses from the department for. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable. I think that will bring this sitting, Honorable Members, if there's anything to add, Honorable Mokwena.
Yes, Chairperson. One important point that I've lifted out of the researcher's report is that of the performance agreement emanating, of course, from the initiative by the President to enter into a performance agreement between himself as the head of state and the minister, and how that, by extension, is going to cascade down to the DGs, etc., etc. That's a very, very fascinating model. I think that must be lifted up, and I think Dr. Shaw, when you report next week, we'd like to hear more about that, because it's a very innovative way of enforcing accountability. Yeah, I'd like to hear more about that next week when we do meet. Mr. Boscati came up with it very interestingly. One little point, and I think it's asking for too much for me, because looking at the sources that he has consulted, Scopa, reports, meeting of the patrol committee, etc. I think the office of the research unit of the GP must actually be capacitated further, so that he doesn't only rely on actual reports without duplicating the patrol committee's work of in situ meetings. He should actually go out to some of those so easy, sit down and talk to them, so that now I can actually say I was there in 1 or 2 out of the 9, instead of just saying, well, I went all through all the reports, etc., and what then becomes like an encyclopedic report, although he's very, very sharp. He's done a very wonderful job. But I think one of the recommendations that now he should actually go out and then do an in situ research.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mokoena, for those words. Let me, before we conclude, I want to give the department, I saw there was a hand over there. Maybe they wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. This is more on an operational level. The privilege of being here today to understand exactly what you're looking for, because we haven't done this before. But in this presentation, you talked about the budgets that we've projected to 2012-13, which is part of our MTEP submission. We were under the impression that this was a review of previous year's budget and expenditure and analysis thereof. Also the first 6 months of this year. So when we come back, would you like a little bit more detail on that? This is what I'm trying to establish, so that we are better prepared when we do come to the next meeting. Is that
okay? Thank you very much, everybody present here. Let me thank... Oh, honorable, Mr. Shaw, you want to say?
Chair, perhaps if I can just add a slight note of caution. I understand where a number of members are coming from. And they're asking us why there isn't perhaps greater level of involvement by the department in the work of SAEs. And it is simply at the moment because of the way they are structured. And that there is the presidential review.
Chip has an order.
It's a point of order.
Yes, sir. With your respect, Dr. Shaw wants to keep us here forever. I mean, we said we'd be engaging with that next week. Why do we really? Because he would say this and we would want to respond, and it's going to be a discussion in perpetuity.
No, sir.
Okay. Honorable Mokoena?
No, I don't understand the point of order. I really don't understand the point of order.
Can I repeat it again, sir?
No, I heard you. You don't want Mr. Shaw to say what he's saying.
I am talking to you.
Okay.
Can I say it again?
Let me rule on this one. I think I'm the chair. Yes.
Can I say it again, sir?
Let me rule on this one. Mr. Shaw, can you say what you want to say? And then from there we'll conclude the meeting.
I'll be very brief. All I want to do is indicate to you that in our report back, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that we manage the SAEs in a particular way, and that there is a SOE review undertaken by the President currently occurring, and that we need to be cognizant of the fact that we've heard none of the outcomes of that review, which may talk to many of the issues that are here. That's all I wanted to raise with you.
Thank you very much. There's what's it called here? For you. Oh, okay. No, the DG won't be here next week on Tuesday. So there's a proposal that we should have the meeting on Friday. On Friday.
Yes, Friday.
Next Friday.
Next week
Friday.
What is Tuesday?
Jay, we've got do we have a meeting on Tuesday next week? And then Wednesday and Thursday, nothing. And then Friday, you see, Chair, for people, you know, we are in other constituencies, we're not all staying in Cape Town. And to stay here from Tuesday till Friday for the meeting, you know, I found it a little bit difficult. You know, can't we deal with this like we did yesterday and today, then Tuesday and Wednesday or on the same day? There's no plenary next week, so we are all available because there's no sitting for Parliament. Otherwise, you know, to come down on Tuesday, go back, come down on Friday is wasting. Thank you.
No, I agree with Dr. Van Dijk. Honestly, let's try and schedule the meeting midweek. Don't repeat what you said. It makes up some sense. Because the Friday meetings actually suffer. We all know that, unfortunately. So I wouldn't like to have a very an ill-attended meeting on Thursday or Friday for a very important presentation like this.
So is it agreed that we are going to schedule the meeting for during the week, not on Friday, because most members on Friday, known here in Parliament, we are travelling, all of us.
Yeah. And I think we must thank Mr. Santo for suppressing an uprising there by Mr. Van Dalen.
Okay. Now, Mr. Shaw, you still want to say that I see the department still want to say something on this.
Chair, I don't want to be difficult to your process, and if you wish to have it on Tuesday, we will be we'll make ourselves available, and we will have people from the department available. But if I can just point out, in the early part of next week, there's three members of the department that will be attending the OECD dealing with public enterprises. And so key members of the department are not available until Thursday and Friday. And it would be difficult for us to give you the clarity that you need on some of these questions without some of those people. It would be the head of governance, Ursula Fikilepi, and some of the other members of the department. So I just want to make that point.
Well, let's settle for Thursday then.
Okay, let's come up with a date. Except
I'm suggesting
Friday.
Thursday, Chairperson. Well, you said they'll be available on Thursday and Friday.
Okay. So what are you saying?
Yes, Thursday, Chairperson.
Just on, we've got tomorrow, we've got Thursday, Friday and Monday for preparation. The member from the official from the department said that by next week they will be busy with the other things. But we've got, for this week, we still got Thursday, Friday and next week Monday. Can't we fit it in on Tuesday next week as well? Because there's no parliamentary sitting on Tuesday. Thank you.
I don't think you're on the same page. Well, I'm not talking about this week. I'm saying next week Thursday instead of next week Friday.
We're talking about next week,
yes. Yeah. No, you see, Tuesday, Dr. Shah won't be here. And other Wednesday, they're also not going to be here. But they can be available either Thursday or Friday. So I'm saying I agree with you, it must be Friday. But Thursday is a reasonably neutral day.
Chair, I don't know whether I understand it correct. You said they will not have time to prepare, but we've got to. Thursday, Friday this week to prepare, and Monday next week to prepare. And surely the department does not consist only of one person. It's a department. If one person A is not there, person B can be presented.
No, sir.
I think we need to reach a consensus here, all of us.
The accounting officer, in terms of the act that we passed, must be here. That's the point that the show is making. And it is not the question of them not being ready on Tuesday. That's a point that has made again. But if he is not here because of prior commitment, which has disclosed, that's the point. That is why, therefore, the compromise being proposed by Mr. Mkwena is that, well, let's accommodate them on Thursday. I understand the point from my colleague from the DA, say, well, we can be here on Tuesday and then wait for Thursday. He has got a point there. That is why we were thinking that we could therefore reschedule whatever we're going to have on Tuesday, to have on Thursday early, so that we can deal with this thing once and for all. Give them time, then that on Tuesday we're not going to be able to meet. This is the matter then that I understand that the leadership, you can just consider this and then actually give us whatever. But I think all of us will be comfortable to hold them on Thursday.
Agreed.
So we're moving the Tuesday meeting to Thursday morning.
So we won't have a meeting on Tuesday.
I will communicate with members because the House Chairperson still needs to check as to whether there might be a caucuses and all those. So there's a process must follow, but I'll inform you before the end of tomorrow. So.
Okay.
Members, I think Udisang will inform all of us through SMSs as to when exactly are we sitting. Let me take this opportunity to thank all members.
All the members are standing already.
Can you sit, please?
Yes, I'm surprised.
One of our members, can you sit? I'm chairing here. Let me thank the secretary. Let me thank the researcher. Thank the department. Thank all of you for attending this very, very important meeting. This meeting stands adjourned. We'll meet again next week. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.